Hello, welcome to Chapter 1 of Marketing 110, Retailing. I want to take this opportunity to tell you a little bit about the course. What we'll be doing here with the audio topics is I'll try to provide one for each chapter in the course, but the first few, probably the first four for the first test, will be in much greater detail than the following. After that, I want to gradually evolve into just really trying to cover those items that you'll be tested on. But as we begin, I wanted to give you every opportunity to really understand the notes, the way they're arranged, some of my notation in them, and to remind you again what the test will be like in this course. What we'll do here, and what I would expect you to do in studying, is to keep in mind that you are responsible for that entire list of terms, but go through the chapter using the outline. That's the Roman numeral chapter sections, and look at the individual topics under that. So that's what we'll be doing here. One thing you should always be aware of is that most of the terms will be covered in these topics. In the classroom, this is the way I lecture. I go down these topics, and that way we cover them. On rare occasions, and I think there is an occasion in this chapter, there will be some terms that aren't specifically covered in the outline. In this case, that's probably terms 9, 10, and 11. Those are counting terms. For the purpose of this audio topic, I'll cover those separately. But in later chapters, if there are any that are left out, you will have to be careful to look those up from the term list directly using the page numbers. Okay, let's start down through the sections. The first section in Chapter 1 of this text is what is retailing. And the first topic, our starting point, will be the term retailing. Now, the first thing about the notes. There are two bits of note notation here that you should note. One is the quotes around retailing. That means that it is one of the terms. So as you go through this outline, if you see quotes around it, that's your hint that it's one of the terms above and you will be responsible for it on the test as part of a matching problem to match it with a definition. I never intend to give you the definition. It's much easier to explain that in the classroom and in a discussion format. But the idea is that you're not memorizing definitions. You're learning to understand these terms and recognize their content, their context. So more often than not, what you may need is a reminder, a keyword, a phrase, or something that takes you back to that. Now, for example, in the first one, the term is retailing. So what is retailing? Well, you and I know what retailing is. It's selling stuff. But what makes it retailing as opposed to wholesaling or as opposed to some other types of sales? Well, the thing about retailing is we're selling to the end user, to the final customer. So this thought of customer or end user is what separates retailing from other things. Wholesalers, they sell to stores to resell them, but they do not sell to the final customer. Okay, the other bit of notation that we can cover in this first topic is the number in parentheses. I hope it's fairly obvious those are the page numbers in the text. I've tried to give you, I want you, especially online, you'll have to rely on your text a great deal to cover the course. And the notes really just become an outline, though they do give you a great deal of information about the additional test questions. So the first topic is retailing. It means sell to the final customers. And it's on page 4. The next topic is, here in one topic, we're looking at a couple of terms. Because in my mind, they somewhat go together. Both terms are on page 9. Same store sales and market share. Same store sales is a measurement retail stores use to compare how well a store is done this year or this period, might be this month or this quarter, to that same period, that same year, month, or quarter in a previous time. The idea is to see if a store sales are growing or declining. See if business is picking up in that store or dropping off from period to period, month to month, quarter to quarter, year to year. But we look at the same period for a certain store and see how they've changed. Market share is simply the percentage of the overall market, the percentage of all available customers, or the percentage of sales in our category that we have, just what you would expect it to be. The third topic in Section 1, scramble merchandising. Scramble merchandising is a term on page 9, and this refers to carrying a variety of merchandise. We say that Walmart does scramble merchandising because they carry a good many different items, as opposed to maybe some specialty type of shoe store. It doesn't carry a large variety of items. They carry shoes. Okay, Section 2 is a little more discussion type section, and for the most part, this is the type that lends itself much better to the classroom. Online, I would just encourage you to read these page numbers, understand that's the topic being covered, and go from there. The first topic is facts. The book on page 4 gives us some facts about retailing, mostly intended to give you an idea of how important it is in our economy, how many stores there are, how much business they do, that kind of thing. Those would change from edition to edition of the textbook as these change, so let's not talk about this specifically right here, but I do encourage you to look at that on page 4. The second topic is trends, pages 6 to 9. Note the X4. That means that there are four of them. And here I have listed those four for you as the book presented them. E-tailing means selling on the Internet. Electronic retailing is what it's trying to say. Price competition. The text author is convinced that price is becoming more and more the way retailers compete. I'm not certain of that, but that's the way the text views it. Demographic shifts. The demographics have changed, the age distribution in the population, the diversity, the number of immigrants, the different characteristics of the population have changed, and he thinks that's important to retailing. I agree. And store size. Are retail stores becoming larger or smaller? I believe the current trend is larger. You can look on page 9 to see how the book discusses that. The problem with these kinds of topics, trends, is that they do change over time, very similar to the way facts change. What appear to be trends now may not seem to be the trends a year from now. What the author of the textbook may see as trends may not be the one that we would come up with as the important trends if we discussed it as a group. So throughout the course, I will encourage you to look at these trends, and in some cases, I'll even make test questions out of them. But you should keep in mind they are changing kind of things. That is not one of the basic facts that we want to learn in covering retail marketing. And I probably have already mentioned it, but I should mention it again right here. What we're doing in retail marketing is really covering a lot of the things that we've covered in other courses, or do cover in other courses, such as marketing and management, but trying to put that retail emphasis and focus on them. As you'll see in places, that brings us a few more terms, a little more detail on concepts such as store layouts and store merchandising and signage and visual communications, those kind of things. Certain chapters will tend to have that little more retail focus, but a lot of it is just the retail slant on typical marketing and management terms. Okay, there's some more facts here. I wish I hadn't been redundant and listed that again, but it looks like I did in the notes. My mistake. The next topic, another topic to compare a couple more terms. Notice the quotes. Same store sales and market share, which we've actually looked at in section 1. And scramble merchandising as well. A little redundant, all three topics there for me. My bad, I'm sorry. The third section is categorizing retailers. There's some methods of doing that. I think there are probably as many methods as there are people categorizing them, but just to look at some of them, note there are five of them. Note they're not numbered, but they are bulleted here, so you can see they stand out as subtopics. The Census Bureau's NAICS codes, the number of outlets. We talk about chain stores versus a mom-and-pop single outlet store. Margins and turnovers. Some people that categorize retailers break them down depending on how much volume they do and what kind of profit margin they have, discounters and, you know, high-quality retailers. Location, some of them, I guess we can increasingly do this as we start to include Internet versus store-based locations. And size. Size alone can do it. You know, how big is the store? But the most important of these methods is probably the first one, the Census Bureau's NAICS codes. Now, what the Census Bureau does is they apply a long number to any given business in the country. And each digit in that number means something. The first digit may be whether or not they're a manufacturer or a retailer or a wholesaler or some kind of service company. The second may tell something about their size or their location, et cetera, et cetera. All that you need to know at this point in this course about NAICS codes is that's the way the Census Bureau categorizes retailers. So really your key to understanding that term, and with quotes it is a term, is that's what the Census Bureau uses to categorize retailers. Chain stores. Chain stores, by text definition, are those having, I believe it's 11 or more outlets. I think you and I would know it's those having a number of outlets. Let's call it 11 and let it go with that. the channel captain. Later in the course, and in other courses, I'm sure you've looked at marketing channels, all of those types of companies that help move goods from the manufacturer to the consumer. That would include manufacturers, wholesalers, retailers, as the most obvious ones. Well, usually when you have a marketing channel, and just about every product does of some length, there's usually some member of that channel that's in charge, that has the authority, that has the greatest control. Often that's Walmart, because Walmart has such marketing power. They're such a huge force in the industry. They tend to dominate those they buy from. But whoever is in charge or whoever has the control in a marketing channel, we refer to as, of course, channel captain. Private label branding. Technically, a private label branding could be when anyone other than the manufacturer's name is on the product. But in most textbooks, including this one, since it focuses on retailing, we think of private label branding as having the name of the retailer rather than the name of the manufacturer on the package. Good examples of this may be, I'm trying to think of one. Kroger had, when Kroger was alive, had the Cost Cutter. Walmart has a store brand, what do they call it, Equate, in their medicine area. That's the retailer's brand, not the manufacturer. The manufacturer is some other company that maybe one of the name brand companies that simply manufactures these for a retailer and allows the retailer to put their brand name on it. Sears Craftsman, another example. Sears doesn't make those tools, but they have the retailer's brand name on it. Section 4 I would encourage you to read, but it's mostly, and Section 5 with one exception. This is the author's attempt to explain to you why it's important you study this course, why this course should be interesting to you. But let's look at Section 5 a little closer. The first topic is methods. Two or three things about this topic you should keep in mind as you see future ones like this. First, all I said was methods. That's methods of what? Of course, that's methods of whatever we're covering in that section. That's methods for studying and practicing retailing in this case. It's on page 27, and there are two of them, times two. And in this case, they're listed as numbered subtopics. Now, that means it will be a test question. So what you'll have on the test for Chapter 1 as we begin to wrap this up is two things. One, you will have all of those terms that we covered at the top, that we will, or that are listed at the top, 11 terms to match with 11 definitions. I'm sorry I'm not with you to discuss this interactively, but it's very important that you understand how and why it will not be the definition. You cannot open the textbook to the page and find a definition and expect to see those exact words as the definition for these terms. It is not fourth grade, memorize the definition vocabulary terms. The idea is to understand these terms, to be able to recognize them in context. To help you do that, I'm going to bounce down through that list in just a moment in ways that I don't intend to do in future chapters, but I want you to become increasingly comfortable with that. But back to this topic, methods. The other part of the test will be some questions. More often than not, it will be name the two methods. And you'll have two blanks, simply recite these numbered topics. Feed these lists back to me. In this case, the two methods for studying and practicing retailing, you will have to know and, I hate the word, but memorize or analytical and creative. I will ask you a good many of those. Actually, in reviewing the courses online, I've come to realize that there may be too many of those. And since you're not there for the discussion and you missed the part where I have the opportunity to emphasize this is important and this is less important but will be points on your test, it all begins to look like one huge, long list of lists. I don't want it to be that way, so in later chapters I've tried to change some of those from memorize this list to identify them from this list, pick them out, or in some cases, simple matching questions. Which of the following is not one of the? So I've tried to change that a little bit. By doing these audio topics, I also hope to give you some idea as we go of how important some of these are and are not. This first one, how important is it to understand analytical and creative? Well, in the overall scope of the course, I wouldn't call this a type A question, but I would call it a type B. It's not a C. It's not a throwaway kind of thing. You should understand that in studying and practicing anything, there are two approaches to doing it, to actually managing it, if you will. One is analytical, one's creative. Analytical means it's based on some calculation, some technical knowledge, some method of going about it. Creative is more based on experience and opinion and judgment and those kind of things. Both are equally valid, and people that made a fortune and developed hugely successful companies taking both approaches primarily, but they do represent our two approaches. Okay, I would just encourage you to read the orientations for study on page 28. And in hopefully trying to get to the end of this, because I don't intend for these chapter topics to be quite this long for you to have to listen to in the future, let's bounce down the list real quick. I think you'll find that in the context of going through the outline, we covered all of these except the last three. But let me say them again, and I'm going to do these fast. I'm going to try to just mention the key word, remember, and I can't emphasize enough, do not try to write down these words as the definition. It won't be that way on the test, and you'll be sorely disappointed. Retailing, what does it have to do with? Selling to customers. Think the final customer, the end customer, but selling to customers, as opposed to selling to businesses. Same store sales, that's the measurement of a store sales for the same period, from year to year, or first quarter this year compared to first quarter last year, this November compared to last November, that kind of thing. Market share, the percentage of the market that our sales represent. Easy enough. Scramble merchandising, think of a variety of merchandising, a merchandise that we sell. NAICS codes, who uses that to categorize retailers? The Census Bureau. Chain stores, obviously stores having a number of outlets. How many? The text says 11, so we'll go with that. Though there's nothing magic and permanent about that 11, but for now 11. Channel captain, member of the channel that has control. Private label branding, whose name is on the package? The retailer's name. Now the last three, gross margin, operating expenses, inventory turnover, are straight from your accounting courses, but I don't think you'll find them very difficult. What is gross margin? That's the difference between sales and cost of goods sold. If you take your sales, your revenue, and you subtract only the cost of goods sold, what you have is gross margin. That's what you have left to cover all of your costs and expenses of doing business other than what you paid for the products. What are operating expenses? Those are the cost, or, if you will, the expenses of running a business. And finally, inventory turnover. In retailing in particular, it's important that we measure how fast we turn over our inventory. A lot of retailers have a cash flow problem because they have to stock so much merchandise. They have to buy huge amounts of merchandise for customers to have a selection. But it takes them a long time to sell all that. Imagine going in a fishing tackle store and you wanted to look at fishing lures. They have to have all different colors, all different sizes, all different shapes. But the typical customer comes in and buys one. So they don't turn that inventory over very much. But the way we calculate inventory turnover is we take our sales and divide it by the average inventory. And we find that maybe in some businesses we turn our inventory over once a month. In some we may not turn it over once a year. But that's what inventory turnover is that measurement. Okay, I believe that leaves you in good shape for Chapter 1. I will try to increasingly make these shorter and shorter. I try to highlight any uniqueness in the way the notes are presented, but working towards that goal of just covering the main items that will be on the test and encouraging you to go through the topics yourself, topic by topic, and study to learn from the online course. Thank you very much.